Good morning. Let's turn to the third epistle of John. I was expecting so many men here this morning. How disappointed. Okay, third epistle of John, let's read. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and bore witness to your truth, that is how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. And they bear witness to your love before the church, and you do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out of their sake for the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore we ought to support such men, that they may be fellow workers with the truth. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words, and not satisfied with this. Neither does he himself receive the brethren, and he forbids those who desire to do so, and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our witness is true. I had many things to write to you, but I am not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Amen. This third epistle of John is actually the shortest letter in the whole Bible, but only short by about 20 Greek words compared to 2 John. And again, it's very similar. This time, he actually calls the person out by name, where last time he was talking about the sister. Now, it's this beloved Gaius. And Gaius was probably the leader in one of the satellite churches outside of Ephesus that John was acquainted with and John knew. Most likely, maybe the pastor or something to that effect. And so he tells him that he was very glad to hear about his witness. He was very glad to hear that you're doing well and you're walking in the truth. Remember, again, one of the major themes is John is dealing with heresy, and so he tells him, I'm so glad that you're actually walking in the truth and that you're doing a great job. Verse 2 is a really interesting passage, and it's used quite a bit in a certain circle of the church. What's kind of known as the prosperity movement. In verse 2 it says, Beloved, I pray that in all respects that you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. And so there seems to be this connection or this idea about prosperity connecting with our health and also with our soul. The word soul in Greek is the word psyche. And obviously, we get the word psychology or the mind, but the word just didn't mean our mind, even though that's kind of a narrow view of that. It actually meant our whole well-being. The word prosper is not talking about wealth. Okay, so let's just start from there. First of all, the word prosper is not talking about wealth. What it means is the exact definition is being on a good journey. And so that things are going well with you, that you're on if you're going on a trip, that the trip is good. It's a safe trip. It's a successful trip. And so the connotation of the word prosper means that you're on a good way or you're on a good trip, or probably a better word is a good journey. And so it's not really talking about material wealth in that regard. The way that the verse is set up actually is that it emphasizes a spiritual prospering. In other words, I want you to prosper. I want you to be in good health, your physicality, but in comparison to your soul prospering. And so there's this idea, and I think which is kind of true in many instances, that when your soul is prospering, when spiritually you're doing well with God, your body kind of comes alongside of it as well. Now, this doesn't mean the opposite effect. It doesn't mean that if you're sick, that you are spiritually poor. You know what I mean? Or something's wrong with you spiritually. There's no opposite of this. He is elevating the psyche, your soul prospering, and he's saying that I hope your health basically matches up to your soul. And so it's not, I've actually heard some teaching that I actually turned off right away on the radio that said that, you know, God is not glorified in sickness. And the connotation of what this guy was saying was that if you're sick, then you're basically cursed. And that would be the flip side, but the person actually as a teacher doesn't understand the emphasis that it's your soul prospering, right? It's your well-being. And he's saying, I hope that your physical, you've been good health as well, but as it matches the way that your soul, your spiritual nature is prospering. And so kind of don't miss sight of what he's saying here. The other part too is it seems to tell us that we should be in good health. That there should be a element of our body that should be made whole as our spirit is being made whole. And so when you are ill or when you are sick, you should pray. I mean, just, you know, very easily down the road, you should pray. You should ask God to heal you, because that's part of being on a good journey. Now, it's up to God to heal you or not. And I don't want to attach, if you're not healed, it's a lack of faith and all this whatnot. I had a conversation with this pastor probably about a month ago or so, you know, a leader here in Hong Kong. And he's under the conviction that everyone should be healed. And so I had a really lengthy chat with him, just talking about all these things. And then I have my Trump card. Well, when I talk to people like this, and I said, how about death then? You know, my question always is, are we supposed to live forever? I mean, if we're always supposed to be healed, and that's, are we supposed to live forever? And, you know, you got a discussion. Obviously, you can't beat that argument in my mind. And his retort was, well, whenever I've seen a man or a woman of God die, they just die. You know, in other words, they, and they're done. And I was like, really? I mean, is that really the case that they just die of natural causes? And basically, they lived a full life. And he says, every man or woman of God. And he's, no. And I was like, I don't think that's true. And I don't want to get into arguments. So we just kind of ended the discussion there. And so now as leaders, since most of us, you guys are sitting here as leaders, what do you do about that with health and with a physical thing, and how do you pastor people through illness and whatnot? And the easiest way I can say it is that suffering in many ways is a part of God's will. Now, God's will is to us be in good health, okay? And so let's not lose sight of that. But part of this fallen world that we live in also embodies pain. And we need to have a theology of suffering, because it plays a part. There is one of the major themes all through the Bible is it's suffering and then glory. Do you remember that? It's suffering and then glory. It's woven all through the scriptures, and it should be a part of how we work and how we operate. This whole thing of healing, really, it's a mystery. I mean, it is a mystery. I believe in it. You know, I mean, I pray to for it to happen again and again. We're at the retreat in Beijing, and I was just sharing some of my testimonies because I was talking about experiencing God in one of the sessions. And as I was sharing, some of the people had some of the conditions that I was explaining, and so they come up for prayer. And so we saw a lady. She came up, and she's very new to the church. And one of her legs was a quarter of an inch shorter than the other one. And usually, you know, I pray for people, but usually it's like very minuscule, you know, but it's like, you know, it's like this much difference. And I was like, oh, crap. You know, when she put her legs out, I was like, oh, man, you know, it's kind of like, God, you better show up, man, or this is not going to work. And so, and I started praying, and nothing was happening, so I just closed my eyes, you know, and I just said, okay, God, you better do something. And sure enough, man, within the next, like, 10 seconds, the leg totally came out. And she's sitting there going, what in the world? I mean, she's in shock. And then a couple of other guys that are there, they're just like, you know Brian, the guy that wants to be an actor? He's like, blah, blah! You know, he's kind of going crazy because, you know, he's kind of rambunctious kind of guy. But it was just amazing to see. We pray for other people, and they got healed. But then the next day, they're back in pain. I don't get it. You know, I don't quite understand the full gamut of how this works. All I know is that I'm committed and commanded to pray for people's healing. Heal the sick, right? Cast the demons. Freely you receive, freely give. Just really simple. And so we operate in that way. So verse 2. And then he continues on. He talks about the nature of hospitality. And he's saying, look, in verse 5, beloved, you're acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, especially when they are strangers. And so he's dealing with this gift of hospitality. They bear witness to your love before the church, and you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. He's really elevating this gift, and he's thanking them for their hospitality. You have to remember, in this setting, there are teachers that you know, and there's really no like kind of missionary support system and things that are going along. And so these teachers are going city to city, teaching these churches, and really at the mercy of people's hospitality. And so that's what's happening there. And he's saying in verse 8, therefore we ought to support such men that they may be fellow workers with the truth. And he's giving them basically the reason for hospitality. We do this, we become fellow workers. And we are contributing to their ministry, so we should support them and be hospitable. And this is one of the key aspects of the early church. And, you know, people travel, they welcome them in, so that's how they sent letters of endorsement. Most likely, probably this letter to Gaius was in respect to maybe Demetrius or some other leaders that were coming. Maybe they were the ones that actually handed the letter to Gaius. And that's basically how they operated in the early church in this way. And so he wrote this letter to this particular church that Gaius is leading. And then he wrote this letter, but there was a man named Diotrephus. And he, first of all, he loves to be first. In other words, John was saying he has a haughty spirit, a really haughty spirit. It's another word of saying very prideful. And he loves to be first, and he does not accept what we say. And so much so that not only does he not accept it, but he basically is shunning fellowship. So he's not being hospitable. He's not entertaining guests. He's basically shut himself off from fellowship. And because he doesn't accept what John is saying, most likely, again, dealing with the humanity of Christ. It seems to be one of the major issues that John is dealing with in the other letters as well. And so as he's doing this, he is totally dividing up the body, displacing the fellowship in that way, and basically like, well, you know, I can't really relate with you, or I can't really fellowship with you because you don't believe the way I believe, and so on and so forth. And that's a sin. And John says that when I come into town, I will call attention to his deeds. In other words, I'm gonna approach him, and we're gonna have a talk. There's gonna be a confrontation in some regard. And in this text, I mean, it kind of speaks to me right now over a few matters. You know, one, I've been hearing lately that there is this particular teacher, you know, and some of our guys are kind of involved in his ministry, and he's been telling them not to come to SP. He's been saying, oh, don't go to Solomon's Porch, you know, they're not biblical. And it's basically the charismatic issue, you know, whatnot. And, you know, I'm reading, that guy's Diotrephes. I mean, that's exactly what he's doing. You know, and I was kind of praying, like, you know, should I actually have a meeting with this guy? You know, I mean, I really don't like those kind of meetings, you know, but should I kind of do my duty as a pastor and just kind of have a talk and say, hey, you know, kind of what's your problem, you know, kind of thing, but in a really nice way, right, if I can muster that up anyway. And for a large part, I was like, nah, I don't want to really, you know, it's like, let him be, you know, we'll do what we're doing. But after reading this, I feel like, you know, maybe I should. You know, maybe I should go and have a chat and try to, you know, figure out where this guy's coming from and, you know, and so on and so forth. But it says, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words and not satisfied with us. Neither does he himself receive the brethren. He forbids those who desire to do so. It puts them out of the church. This is a serious issue, you know. I was, you know, Pastor O was here, and we had breakfast, and we're just kind of talking about old times, And, you know, Pastor Oh and myself, amongst a certain sector of the church in L.A., he was a very early spirit-filled believer, very, very early on. And we know some common people, and some people were really mean back in those days and really slandered people and whatnot. And I remember one particular time, there was this one particular leader in California, and when there was a female speaker that was going to come up to speak, him and all his disciples, they were there, and they didn't walk out during worship. They waited until she took the pulpit, and then they all got up and walked out in unison, kind of like, this is our battle cry and whatnot. What? I mean, I was just about to curse a second ago, but, you know, what buttheads, man? You know, it's just this kind of this arrogant, and you could tell this haughtiness, this haughty spirit. They divide fellowship. Hey, you can't hang out with us because, you know, because you believe in something that we don't believe in. And they're just dividing up the body of Christ. I mean, it's horrible. And I'm not just talking about an anti-charismatic, but even charismatics as well. You know, the whole idea is like, oh, you know, you believe in this, I can't fellowship with you. That's just so wrong. The whole idea, Jesus always says, remember me. Do you remember that? Remember me. Remember me. Right? Put me back together. Because the enemy is trying to, right, dislodge everyone, divide and conquer. And Jesus, his members last prayer, Lord, let them be one, just as we are one. Remember me. Put the body back together. And the moment you start doing that, the moment you start being divisive, you follow in the sin of Diotrephes. And can you, I mean, when John comes, you know, into the city, because he says later on that he wants to come, he doesn't want to write this in pen and ink, he wants to show up himself. When he comes, man, Diotrephes is in big trouble. I mean, he's in serious trouble. And so make sure that we are not him. Make sure that we are inclusive of the body of Christ, regardless what people believe in different things. As long as it's gospel-centered, no issues whatsoever. Everyone has their own different thing. You know, I shared in Beijing about, you know, about the house of God. Every house has different rules. You know, and one of the things is, you know, in my house, you know, I mean, what would happen if I came over to Jung's house and I told Jung how to raise his kids? Yeah, he'd be pissed off. You come to my house and you tell me how to raise my kids, I'd be pretty ticked off too. You know, I mean, every house has their own rules, and you got to respect those rules of the house. And so it's kind of like when we go to other churches or we other believers or other groups of people, you know, outside of our house, and we tell them what to do and whatnot, it's like a slap in the face. And so we ought not to do that in this regard. If we do, we become just like Diotrephes. And so we should not do that. Okay? And then he finishes off this chapter, and he talks about, so here's haughtiness, Diotrephes exemplified, and now we got the flip side, a haughtiness that's contrasted, and we're introduced to Demetrius. And Demetrius received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our witness is true. And so here's the flip side. So here's Diotrephes. Don't be like him. Be like Demetrius. He received the truth. He welcomes truth. He's hospitable. He's got a good testimony from everyone. In other words, he gets along. He's gospel-centered in that regard. All right, so let's close our eyes. Is there any divisiveness in our hearts pertaining to body of Christ? Have we said, oh, I can't really fellowship with this group of people, or you know, I'm better than this group, or, oh, we ought not to do that. We're all brothers and sisters, regardless if you're Presbyterian, Baptist, Reformed, Lutheran, Anglican. All brothers and sisters, non-denom, New Apostolic Reformation, whatever the case may be. And maybe this is not so much for you personally, but especially as a church. Well, let's pray that our church might not be divisive. That when there are conflicts that arise, like this situation that's going on right now, that we would operate out of love. I mean, being firm. And when we need to challenge, that'll be there. But we really operate out of love. As Jackie leads us in a song, let's just meditate. Let's pray this morning for a sense of unity in our own hearts, and theologically we align ourselves with Christ and His truth, not necessarily our own pet theologies or whatnot. And you know, in our own hearts, if there's any divisiveness, and maybe this maybe doesn't really relate theologically, but even with people, right? It's, God wants us to be one. Let's pray for reconciliation. Let's pray for wholeness. Let's pray Holy Spirit. And, you know, even for us as a church, God just give us wisdom how to deal in these kind of circumstances. Let's just lift up. Let's go to our community prayer focus and let's pray for our family members that are going through cancer-related illnesses. Let's pray during their chemo. Let's pray for God's healing touch. Let's pray for the comfort of God, that God would really speak to them and use them during this time. Let's pray. Let's pray for ones that are ill, but that also need their soul to prosper. They need to meet with Jesus. And so let's pray that God would make himself known, especially in the midst of their sickness. They would turn to Christ. Huh? Let's pray for them. Let's pray for others that are sick with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters that are looking for work. Let's pray that God open doors. Let's pray that the interviews and the process would go well. Pray for the HR and hiring people, that the favor of God would be upon our friends. Let's really lift them up. Let's go to our mission prayer focus this morning. Let's pray for Indonesia. Let's pray for Pastor Salamat and Febe Ministry and all the different initiatives and ministries they got going on. Let's pray for the church in Kupang. They'll be visiting again this summer. Pray for Singapore. Pray for our church plant, our core group. We're going to be doing Experiencing God Together through the month of August and September. So pray for the leaders there, and as we continue to launch, for all the logistics and everything to really come in place. Let's lift up these two countries and what God is doing in these places. Thank you. Let's pray for our education ministries. Pray for Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and the college group. Pray for pastors, all the volunteers and leaders and the kids. They will just continue to grow in grace and knowledge and in love and with Christ. So let's lift up. Let's pray for SP families and marriages. Let's pray for love and healing, unity, restoration, protection. Let's just ask God to cover our families, and especially married couples, the ones that are struggling especially. Let's ask for God's healing word to come over their lives, and let's just lift up. Let's pray for the house churches meeting today. It's going to be primarily a female affair. Let's just pray for a lot of grace and a lot of protection as they gather together, and Holy Spirit will just be in the midst of their celebration. Let's pray. Let's pray for this weekend. Pray for the services. Pray for the one service, we should say, this Sunday morning with all the ladies. Ask God's presence to be there with Noah's Ark and everything happening. Pray for the worship team, the hospitality, the kids, the youth, all the outreaches and the meetings that are coming up. Let's just ask God to bless this Sunday. Very unique Sunday, that the message of God would be powerful. Pastor Sophia's preaching. Let's just lift up. And lastly, let's pray for our men's retreat. We're leaving this morning, in just a little bit of time. Pray everyone would be able to make it. Holy Spirit would be there. Pray for Pastor Eugene and myself as we speak, and you know, our panel as well as we share. Just pray God's hand would be upon us, and the Lord would just really move powerfully. And then pray for next weekend as well for the women's retreat. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word, God. And we pray, Lord, that we be a hospitable people, Lord, that regards truth and walks in truth, God. Father, we pray especially today for the men's retreat, God, as 80-some guys go off to Mawan. We pray for your protection. Lord, I know it's raining and whatnot, but we thank you, God, that the Holy Spirit, you're going to move in our hearts. You're going to do something supernaturally within us. And so we thank you in advance. We pray for the women that are left behind, God, that they would do well and worship the Lord, God, with all their heart, and that you would just speak into their lives this Sunday as well, God. We thank you for the opportunity. We love you, God. Watch over us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. And